You will open to your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1, the first seven verses, Solomon writes the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and the man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels, to understand a proverb, and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Have you ever gone into the jewelry store and gone shopping? It is amazing at the cost of that jewelry under all that glass. What begins as jewelry shopping ends up being window shopping. Jewelry sales in 2018 topped $70 billion, with a third of that coming over the holiday season. Many have a fascination with jewelry, because jewelry represents wealth. In and of itself, gold has no value to our lives. You can't eat it. You can't wear it as clothing. You can't use it as shelter unless you have an exorbitant amount of gold. In and of itself, jewelry is simply a symbol of wealth or value. But Solomon had the opportunity to ask God for anything that he desired. It could have been great wealth or great power. But Solomon chose great wisdom. And in that wisdom, Solomon would write short essays about wisdom. Sometimes he would write sentence sermons, points to ponder, and quips to quote. Well, listen to the first five verses of Proverbs chapter 2 and hear what Solomon says about seeking wisdom. He writes, "My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you call for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for its hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of God." Wisdom is far more valuable than jewelry. But is wisdom something that we desire? Now, if we will, let's go back to our text. The compilation of the Proverbs was done to simply help us look at them thematically. The first seven chapters, several chapters of Proverbs, centers on this very topic, wisdom. And our text summarizes the Proverbs in verse 7, "Fear the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." Think about that clause for just a moment. The fear of the Lord. The concept of fear is connected to knowledge, wisdom, and instruction used here. Fear can be a good thing when it is used appropriately. Here a couple of weeks ago, I had mentioned a preacher by the name of Jonathan Edwards. He was known as the fire and brimstone preacher of the Puritan age. His sermons, so much is said about him. And he said his sermons in such a way that some of the parishioners would gasp. Others would clutch the pews, lest they fall into the pit of hell while he was speaking. Is that the fullness of the idea of fear connected to God? No. Yet, is it important for us to have some sense of dread of what God can do? Yes. We will look in Luke chapter 12. Listen to Jesus of what he said in verses 4 and 5 of Luke chapter 12. I tell you, my friends, do not fear those who kill the body and after that have nothing more they can do. But I warn you whom to fear. Fear him who, after he has killed, has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Jesus, who is God, understands eternity. And he boldly stated that we should have some abject fear of the one who can cast us into hell. And this type of fear is absolutely important. Well, let's finish Jesus with the statement, his statement in verses 6 and 7. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies? And not one of them is forgotten unto God. Why, even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not. You are more valuable than many sparrows. The balance of fear is the respect that comes from knowing what God can do, but also knowing that you are so loved that he does not want to do that to you. I'll try to make this as practical as possible. Do you believe that the Bible gives you the guidelines to answer every question pertaining to life and godliness? If you answer yes, then what does wisdom do? Wisdom listens. Wisdom understands. And then wisdom obeys. That's what wisdom does. Do you find it frustrating when someone comes to you seeking advice and then refuses to heed it? Yeah, there's a lot of heads shaking. Do you want to look them in the eye and ask, then why did you ask me if you weren't going to listen to me? I think every single parent could agree with that. Is it any different with God and his word that we call the Bible? Is it? Solomon says, fools despise wisdom and instruction. Well, let's go back to Proverbs chapter 1. Let's start in verse 20, and we'll go down through verse 29. Wisdom cries aloud in the streets. In the market, she raises her voice. At the head of the noisy street, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gate, she speaks. How long, O simple ones, will you love the simple? How long will you scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge? If you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you. Because I have called you and you have refused to listen, have stretched out my hand and no one has heeded, because you have ignored all my counsel and would not have none of my reproof, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock you when terror strikes you, when terror strikes you like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you. Then they will call upon me, but I will not answer, and they will seek me diligently, but will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the fear of the Lord. That's a slap in the face, if I do say so myself. I cry out to God. He gives me an answer. But because I don't like his answer, because I don't want to change my ways, I continue to face certain doom. But when that time comes for me to pay the piper, finding myself facing eternal judgment, away from God, then I'm going to cry out. But this time, God's not going to listen to me. But he's going to allow me to suffer the consequences of leading a life without fear, without knowledge, and without wisdom. So that brings us to the type of wisdom that we desire. If you will, look in Exodus chapter 28 and verse 3. Exodus chapter 28 and verse 3. Stuck together. And thou shalt speak unto all that are wise hearted, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. Priest's office. There is that word wisdom that is used there. You might ask, what does this verse have to do with wisdom? The Hebrew word that is translated wisdom is a little more colorful than our English word. The Hebrew word is chokma, and it usually refers to some kind of skill and ability. And this is the first time it is used in Scripture. And the King James translates these words as wise. The idea here is that God used the wise-hearted to make the garments, for he gave them wisdom. The weaver's ability to design, to follow God's design in manufacturing those garments. The garments, everything that went into the temple went into great detail. God was very specific about everything, from the types of the material and to the way it was made. They labeled that, those men who made those garments, they labeled them as wise. And it was wisdom. From that point on, the Israelites equated wisdom with a skill for living. And wisdom has since been defined as the skill to live life according to God's plan. See, it all comes full circle. The wise person is the one who patterns his life, whether it be his finances, his goals, his relationships, every aspect according to the specifications revealed in God's word. There is no variance. There is no changing. Because if we decide to change, then we have changed from following God's wisdom and utilizing that to coming up with our own wisdom. Wisdom is what we need to fulfill God's purpose for our lives. God has a design for each of us, and we need wisdom to fulfill that design. I would be remiss if I concluded the lesson without going to the book of James. In James chapter 1 and verses 5 through 8, James writes, "If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Have you ever asked yourself a question, do I deserve godly wisdom? The question remains, have you asked that of God? When you ask, do you heed what is said? Or do you simply look to God to affirm what you already believe? You simply want God to tell you that your thinking is good when it's not. You are a wave that is tossed around by the winds. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and fools despise wisdom and instruction. The wise man obeys God. A wise man will take God's word and heed those things. And for generations, God allowed this world to continue to get to culminate to a point that at the right time in the history of man, he would send his son. The world was lost. There were very few men who followed God the way they were supposed to. But a majority of the world was lost. And God sent his Savior to save the whole world, not just a chosen generation, not just a chosen people, for all human beings are God's chosen people. He sent his son. He allowed him to live for 30 years, and then he sent him out to preach and to teach and to save the world. We have been reconciled with God through Jesus Christ. But only those who are reconciled are those who obeyed the gospel. Those who have heard the word and believed that word, and repented of that word, and confessed before men, was baptized for the remission of sins. That's in God's word. That's God's plan of salvation. And if you have not done so, and followed God's plan, and obeyed that plan, we give you that opportunity tonight. There's anyone here who desires to turn their life over to God, to have your sins erased, to be a new creature, we pray that you'll come. And if there's anyone here this evening who is in need of the prayers of the congregation, we want to give you that opportunity also this evening. For whatever reason, you'll come as we stand and we sing.